delighted to have you in the podcast where all stories are welcome and the masks come off. Hi, Sharad.
Hi, Sheba.
So wonderful to see you. Welcome to Soul Brews with Sheba, and I'm so delighted to have you here in Coffee and Soul.
Thank you, Sheba. You know, it's absolutely a pleasure to have you and joining your, you know, Soul Brew program. No, I think more than that, and getting back, connecting with you after many, many years was about 96 when we met last.
That's right.
And it's almost 24 years.
Yeah. Amazing. And we worked together in Levi's. We were the startup team for Levi's in India. It's such a delight to connect with you on so many different levels. And I know that you've done a lot since then. I'm really excited about exploring your journey with you. Thank you so much for making the time, Sharad.
My absolute pleasure. It suits very well, as you know, I've taken the rest of the 2 weeks off to spend some time with my daughter. And I was busy, you know, taking her for bicycling this morning.
Wow.
And trying to put up the Christmas tree for her.
Right.
And she's going to invite some of her friends for the Secret Santa. So I've been trying to help her to, you know, get those things arranged, actually.
Wonderful. This is family time. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Sharad, you have your cup of coffee with you?
Yes, I do.
And yeah. It is a Levi's cup. Look at that.
Can you remember this cup when it was given?
Was it after the first year?
Absolutely, yes.
Levi's,
it was in 95. It was in 95. And there were two cups given to every employee at Levi's stores in India.
Right.
I have moved about, what, 6-7 countries in the last 25 years.
Right.
But this is one thing which I personally take care to pack myself.
Wonderful.
And make sure I level them as one of the most important things for me,
you know,
so the packers don't mess it up.
Lovely. I'm so happy to cheer, Sharad. It's a delight
Thank
to
you.
Have you here.
Cheers.
Cheers to life. Cheers.
Thanks. Cheers to life.
Sharad, can I ask you to hold this cup of coffee in between your palms? And just hold it. And if you can just sit back, close your eyes and sit back and just relax. And just think of any image that comes to your mind. I don't know what flashes before you. What do you see?
I see myself back probably in the class, maybe class 7 or 8, not exactly, but around that time, back in Rourkela.
Hmm.
It's a very small, you know, city in Orissa, and popularly known for the steel city, the steel plant.
Right, right.
And that place still remains, you know, the most favorite place for me.
Right.
And despite I visited more than 60 countries, in the last 25 years.
Right.
So that, I mean, whenever I try to either meditate or try to imagine anything, you know, for whatever reason, you know, the camera, my eye camera goes back to my, the city of Rourkela.
Yeah. And what does that mean to you? What does it mean for you, Sharad?
I think there are a few things, you know, I think when I reflect myself, you know, after about leaving 6-7 countries, you know, traveled to about more than 60 countries, interacted with probably, you know, more than 20-25 different, you know, languages, culture, people. And I just started to ask myself, you know, is just me getting accustomed to any new places, new culture, is it just by, you know, happening as it is?
Mm.
Then I asked myself, the town that I grew up, it's in Odisha, it is a steel city. And it's a very cosmopolitan city.
Correct.
You know, if you look at my immediate neighbor was from UP, and the next neighbor was from, you know, Kerala.
Right.
And then in the street that we used to live, there are about probably, you know, 6 to 8 different states people live there.
Correct.
And then we've all grown up in that city. And even though Odisha is just, you know, Rourkela is in Odisha, and the default language is Odia, but we never spoke Odia. Even between two Odias, we speak Hindi, for example.
Right.
This whole bringing up in a cosmopolitan town, you know, respect to each other's culture, value, food, festival, like, you know, the third house was a Muslim house, and then we go to their house for the Eid, and, you know, getting Eidi from them. So I think when I realized, probably that's what probably has, you know, made me grow up as a kid. And then hence, when I go to a new country, new culture, for me, getting accustomed to and then quickly, you know, getting me to used to that new place, as probably if it's been there, how I was raised.
Amazing. You know, because India itself is so multicultural within our country itself. And the fact that you had this exposure and experience at such an early age, as you're saying, it probably shaped up how you deal with different people in any case. Is that correct? Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think if I look at my just opposite to my house was a Kerala family from Kerala.
Correct.
His parents would speak Malayalam, but the kids don't speak Malayalam.
Yeah.
They either speak Hindi or Odia. And their parents would eat most of the Keralite food.
Right.
But whereas my friend would come and eat in my house, the typical Odia cuisine, for example.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
Therefore, how we have, you know, how I've grown and been exposed to different things and then bringing up that as part of the life,
right,
has probably helped. You know, either I go to Ghana to sit down for a meal where I see a starchy instead of a rice, or if I go to Japan where, you know, you try to enjoy the green tea, or if you go to, you know, Europe, or you go to China. So naturally that has,
yes,
now come to me without a big struggle. Let's put it this way.
That's amazing. What a memory to go back to, and what a memory to bring up to say how you got trained at such an early age to appreciate diversity and different cultures. So, a little more about exploring this further. Yours has been a very interesting journey and a very interesting life. Now, I met you only when we were working together in Levi's, but there's so much before and so much after. I'd love to hear a little bit. What's your journey been like? The highs, the lows, some of your, you know, strong defining moments. Take me through that.
I think a lot goes back to me as a child when I was growing up. You know, as I said, when I was in Dorkela, being a small city, and because there was no direct flight,
right,
you know, and the newspaper used to only come after 2 days.
Mm.
Yeah. And when I was to get, I remember still my elder brother who used to love English and used to get the Statesman newspaper,
right,
comes from Calcutta, where, you know, most of the, you know, local people would read the Odia newspaper, and he was getting the Statesman. And when the statement come, and I started, you know, to read that, but then I realized this news is 2 days old.
Right.
Okay. And then I starting to hate that.
Yeah.
As a person, I said, why am I getting this news 2 days old when somebody is getting this news is in Delhi or Mumbai or Calcutta? The fact that, you know, most of the press newspaper gets printed there,
right,
or the same thing, like there's a flight or anything. Why do these metro people in metro, you know, have the privilege of getting things much quicker than me, who I'm sitting in this town. So that, I've never reconciled that fact. And then that was my first, remember, the motivation. I said, look, you know what, I need to move out of this town. It's like you can bring the water to horse, you know, that kind of example.
So the
burning desire was to leave Rourkela,
yeah,
and move out to a bigger city.
Right.
That was one which has influenced me a lot in terms of, you know, getting out. The second thing, which I still remember, have not reconciled one thing in my life, as when I was in my class 10, at that time, I really wanted to get to the defense through the NDA, the NDA exam.
Oh, I didn't know that, Sarat. Really?
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. But the problem was, you know, most of the people who go to NDA they go to the Sainik school. And, you know, majority of them go into the NDA school, which I didn't know all these things. But when I came to know that, you know, you get two chances, you know, if you don't make the first chance, because of your age criteria, you only get two chances to sit an exam. So I just, you know, went without knowing what it requires to prepare and all that. I said, I was a reasonably good student in the Odia school,
sure,
and I thought I could probably clear the exam.
Right.
But then I went to the exam and I was shocked within the first 5 minutes.
Yes.
The song, because just an example. I mean, you know, it's a very candid. I'm just telling you.
Yes.
I didn't know what is full. I didn't know what was the English meaning of full moon day. Okay, I knew what is in Odia.
Right.
Okay, but I didn't know. You know, it's like it is a full moon day. This is an example. Okay. So like that, a lot of questions were in English.
Right.
And because I was studying in Odia medium,
yes,
I didn't know a lot of the meanings.
Yeah.
I scored the math, I scored everything.
Yeah.
Where I did not score was in English. It's primarily because, you know, I was not preparing for that. I didn't know.
Sure.
Then and then I missed the qualifying by one mark.
Oh my God.
And when I missed it by one mark, then I could have scored that one. It's just because, you know, I did not. And that is where I started to tell myself, look, you know what? You will have to probably move out from this ODI medium. There's nothing wrong. ODI is still a great, you know, language and all that.
It's a language.
Yeah, and then, but if you wanted to move out and do something else in life, you probably have to, you know, get to that. So these are, you know, some of the things other than, in, you know, raising in Dorkla has given me a fantastic education because it was a steel city. Everything was given by the steel plant and all that. And, you know, starting from getting the uniform, two pair of shoes, and two meals in a day.
Yes.
And everything was, you know, given by the steel plant. So I owe a lot to me, you know, to my Rourkela, the city, and how I have been brought up, and of course, you know, the whole multicultural, you know, upbringing in Rourkela.
Right.
That probably I would say put the foundation and on me. And then after my graduation, it was just, you know, the whole thing about leaving Rourkela, coming to a bigger city.
Yes.
And it was there in my mind, but I was to wait for a particular incident or something, event, so that, you know, that makes me or kicks me out of Rourkela into a bigger town.
Right.
On that year, I was a reasonably good student. I did not get into medical or engineering like any steel city. Parents, you know, ambition is for their children to become an engineer.
Right.
And work for the steel plant.
Right.
So since I did not get into engineering, then my dad said, look, then you better go do or become. Learn some, you know. Then I joined BCom. On that year, in the entire college, there are only six people passed.
Okay.
It was a tough year, and I was one of the six.
Wow.
So the guy, another good friend of mine, he had, you know, he had the application of post-graduation from NIIT then, from the computers.
Yes.
From Bangalore.
Yes.
And he said, look, Sharat, look, I can't go because, you know, I didn't clear the BCom exam, so I have to retake next year. So if you want to go to Bangalore, here is the application form.
Yes.
So I took the NIIT application form, put it, and then I got an admission. And that was my trigger point, you know, to leave Rourkela and come into Bangalore.
So that's how it happened. That's how it happened. Yes.
And then I, you know, started, I did my post-graduation there. The whole plan, my parents' plan was that, okay, you finish it up and come back and, you know, get a job in Rourkela. But I knew that from the day one that I'm not coming back to Rourkela.
That was your ticket out, and you were not going to. That's right. Yeah.
And then in the campus interview in NIIT, I got a job, and then I stayed back in Bangalore. I think that was my first job in Microland.
Yes.
89-90, Pradeep Karth's company. And I joined them as a systems analyst, you know, trying to implement all the financial general ledger systems. And then after about 4 years working with them, 94, this is where I saw this in the Deccan Herald newspaper in Bangalore, that Levi's has come into Bangalore and they are looking to hire somebody who could do everything, you know, under the roof when it comes to, you know, technology.
Correct.
And I was very young at that time. I said, I will give it a try.
Yes.
You know, because I knew, I was a big fan of Levi's. Every time I had an opportunity to, whoever was traveling to abroad to get me a pair of jeans. So I didn't go for the job. I applied for the brand.
For the company, for the brand, exactly.
So at that point of time.
I think most of us did that, didn't we, Sharat? Most of us did that.
Absolutely.
At that time. Yes, go ahead. Yes. Yeah.
And then I applied for that, and then I got a call for an interview. And at that time, there was no office. And the guy who was managing all the headhunting, he used to be based in MG Road, Mittal Tower, the Brown building, if you remember, next to HSBC.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. And then I met him there. And then he said, there is somebody who's from San Francisco who would interview tonight.
Yes.
And then this is the first time I'm, you know, having somebody to talk to from outside Bangalore for an interview. And there's a guy called Smith Riviere, and he was Asia Pacific head of IT.
Right.
And then he interviewed me. The next day I got a of course, those days there was no phone. I was living with somebody sharing the accommodation, and there was no phone, but I had the address.
Right.
So 10 o'clock, somebody standing in front of my door, and that was this headhunting guy. He said, "Look, Sharat, I know that we spoke yesterday. You had a call last night. I want you to meet the general manager of Levi's."
And that was Sanjay Chaudhary.
that was Sanjay Chaudhary.
Yeah.
And then Sanjay was staying at Oberoi Hotel at that time because there was no office and all that. Then I met Sanjay. And then after I met Sanjay, then I had another interview. The final interview was with Dan Lackey, who was in Singapore at that point of time. And then I had a conversation. Then about 2 days, 3 days later, I was again contacted and asking that this guy is in Bangalore. He wants to meet you. So then I met, and I still remember Dan Lackey. I said, the software that you have, during the interview, they told me, the software they have selected, it's called the Sunsoft, the ERP system.
Yes.
And it was offered by Visage System in India.
Right.
I said, and I was implementing that in my previous, in the MicroLAN.
Right.
So I said, this is the wrong software that you have selected for Levi.
Right.
Who asked you and why did you select this software? So I then realized after joining, they had only known that.
Right.
And when I asked Dan, after about 6 months, he said, "Sharad, you're the only guy who told us in our face that is the wrong software that you
Sharad,
bought."
That is amazing. Yes.
And then the story continues. And then I joined in the Levi's. And then obviously it was the wrong software. Then we had a lot of, because if you remember, Levi's had decided India would be the first country to start with the full automation.
Correct.
With warehouse management system, point of sale, and all that.
Yeah.
So it was all, was a matter of credibility for Levi's India. So then it was a discussion between Smith Revere, Sanjay, myself. At that time, there was another lady called Vasanti Godbole, who she came from San Francisco. Yeah. Said, "So what? So do we do? Yeah. This is not the right software. We've already made an announcement that we'll be launching the business with, first pair of jeans going into store with an warehouse management system." I said, "Okay, do one thing. I can fix this, but I need about 2-3 people and to get this to work." And then it was all agreed. Then I was given 2 people to work with me. I sort of redesigned the entire warehouse management, order management. If you remember the word called, what is called LOPS, Levi's Order Processing System.
Yes,
LOPS. LOPS. I think the birth of LOPS, this is the story behind it. It
Absolutely.
Was not that.
It's amazing. And I was working in the retail at that time, in the stores. I was looking after North and East, and there was a lot of using of that as we went later, right? Even for our distribution, we had worked on that. Yeah.
So that's how it happened, and it did a lot of hard work happened. And as you may remember, I still remember Sanjay in one of the annual day party. He said, "There's one guy who opens the shutter of Choriappa complex, and it's the guy who goes at the end who shuts down the shutter."
And that was you.
And the reason was, we've been trying to on a war footing. We're trying to develop that. There's a lot of support from Raj, who was the CFO.
Of course.
And because of the whole financing thing, and then Mohan from later on, he came in for the warehouse.
Right.
And obviously, these are the people who really worked with.
So Sharat, I'm coming in here. So what was your learning from all of this? This young boy from Rourkela with stars in his eyes and a big dream that I have to get out and do something, where I have access to what is current today. That's what I'm picking up, instead of it being, I don't want to be in the, at the end of something, I want to be at the edge, literally. And that's what I'm picking up from. What would you say right now as you think about him?
I think there's always been one thing which was there even then, it's even there today now. This is something which I'm a very strategic by nature.
Correct.
I always wanting to be one step ahead in terms of thinking and kind of doing any other things. If you remember, India, when we're trying to do all these things with Levi's, we are the first company in India to do a fiber optic lease line from Singapore to Singapore office, to Bangalore office.
Yes.
And in those days, getting anything done through the DOT, through the BSN, and all, it was a nightmare. You wouldn't, you know, if you don't look after those staff, you know, on the facilitation, you know, as they call it as, and as Levi's policy was, they would never entertain anything. It was against the ethics of the business.
Right.
I remember, you know, I said, okay, I had a lot of discussion with Raj at that point of time. He said, look, Sharad, you know, that is company's values and there's nothing we can do about it. Either we, you know, have the lease line or we don't have the lease line.
Right.
I said, look, you know, I'm not going to, you know, accept that we're going to drop the lease line. I'm going to have the lease line. So how do I look after this poor, you know, DOT telecom guy who is critical to make sure this, you know, connection is on to Choriappa complex, to the nearest, junction box. Then I found a way. Then I spoke to Shitija and I said, look, what do you do, for example, you know, your samples?
Shitija at that time was a brand manager.
Yes. Yeah, she was a brand manager. And then I said, okay, when you do your samples, obviously we go do your roadshow and all that. You know, why don't we probably take those samples and give to some of our business partners who really value? That's not, you know, it's like either you send it to recycling or, you know, and all that. But why don't you, let's give it, Shitija may not remember this, but that is how I try to, you know, take some of the samples.
Sure.
Then when there are some, you know, defects used to come from the factory, I used to go, okay, let's take that defect with a 40% discount and all that. And then I used to spend some money from my pocket and give it to this lineman for his son and daughter.
Right. Amazing.
So that
he
look
was
after.
The motivation? So he could look after them. Yeah.
But my motivation was, look, he's a key guy. Without him, this lease line will not be on. And I can't, Levi's as a company, will not bribe anybody for anything. But I really, and he's a key guy, I need to find a way, you know, to keep the things going. And with staying on the conduct lens or the ethical standard lens, you know, giving them a 40% discount, which was offered to the staff, to a, you know, a DOT lineman's children, there's nothing wrong about it. And then if I look at, maybe, you know, God's grace, the children would have probably, you know, been better off now. They would have probably exposed to Levi's, would have become a Levi's customer afterwards, for example.
Correct. So always thinking about it. And that's I think a lot of learning for people who are also going to be listening to it, especially the younger ones, to say how do you ensure that you are constantly thinking about strategically thinking about what is the best way forward. And you consider that this has always been a strength for you, Sharad.
This has always been strength. And when I start to, you know, try to replay the movie of my life in the professional life, and I could probably see one thing that is common. Every single job that I have taken, if you look at from Microland to Levi's to the bank, every single job is absolutely different. There's no relation. And, you know, the reason why I deliberately do that is so that at least I push myself to the new and try to get new things. When I was...
Sorry, I'm coming in here. So are you saying that is something that's a driver for you? Pushing yourself, new boundaries, learning new things, moving into challenging yourself.
Absolutely. Even today I do that, because as I'm speaking, this week is my last week of a digital transformation course I'm taking with an MIT USA.
Wow.
it's a 6 weeks very intensive program. You know, every week one module. If you don't pass, then you have to retake and then you go to the next step. So I'm now trying to, you know, learn myself. There are things which I wanted to do, you know, for the next 3 to 5 years. So yes.
And okay, so myself, let me ask you, what next? Where are you planning to go in the next 3 to 5 years?
Next 3 to 5 years, there are two things in my mind right now. If you look at I started working in the 90s, it's almost 30 years now.
Yes.
So the whole intellectual experience, what I have learned for myself, I want to give it back over the next 10 to 15 years to the industry. Give back means either I go back, start do mentoring some of the people. If you look at my LinkedIn, almost every week I accept about 5 to 6, you know, kids from the college who wants to do mentoring, for example.
Fantastic.
You know, and so mentoring is not about developing you as a leader, it's about, you know, any other thing. So number one, I wanted to give it back.
And are you giving back to Orissa as well? Are you giving back? Yes.
There is a lot happening back into the Orissa, which is we are now trying to, you know, apart from my normal professional life, I also spend a lot of time in developing the culture, language of Orissa and promoting them back into ASEAN countries.
So fabulous. Yeah? Because Orissa, there's so much there. beauty, culture, dance.
Yes. We're trying to get an MOU signed with the Odisha government and whether they can send some of the Odisha dance teacher or, you know, into Thailand, or, you know, send a tabla or harmonium teacher to Japan, where somebody they can, you know, learn, the Japanese can learn about tabla and harmonium and try to do a fusion music over there. So that is my, you know, and when you say, ask me what are you doing for Odisha, this is my passion now to promote Odisha culture and language back into.
I am so delighted to hear this. So you're saying in your LinkedIn profile, as it shows up, is you're mentoring a lot of youngsters in college as well.
Yes, I do that. And then you ask me what I want to do. Obviously, as you know, everything, the whole world is moving to digital.
Yes.
You know, whether it is a blockchain, machine learning and all that. Even though for the last decade, you know, when I started my banking career, I sort of, you know, didn't do much of technology that I used to do before joining the bank.
Right.
It's a very frontline, you know, a client a role. But now I've realized there's a huge upside in the banking industry to bring the whole digital transformation and you know, adopting all the technology solution. And that is something which I want to do, not as a core, you know, pure banking job. It's a very predominant digital disruption, as you can call it, as, or the banking as a service. As you can see, that you will find that word. And that is where for the next 3 to 5 years, I wanted to focus on before I, you know, stop working.
Fabulous. So tell me, would you advise youngsters, what would you tell them when, if they want to get into this digital disruption mode, what would you advise them on? Would you say it's a good thing to do? Imagine, Sharath, your age, somebody just starting out, much younger to you, a younger Sharath, if you can just think of that. What would you tell him or her?
Yeah, I think there are two or three things, you know, which is exactly has what I've preached myself, adopted myself, even then from the age of 20, even now. I think this whole thing called impossible is nothing. To me, that is, it has to start in your mind. Everything is in your mind. And impossible is nothing, that everything, you know, in professional world you can do. Okay. The second thing is, do not be afraid of your failures. In fact, the more mistakes you make, the better you get into that. Okay. And the third thing, obviously, I would say is that, you know, you have to chase your dream.
Yeah.
You have to make sure that your dream is always in the front and center of you, and whatever you do, and, you know, maybe once in every quarter, you need to ask yourself, whatever you have done in the last quarter, how that is fits into your dream, what you're doing. If you feel that, no, I'm okay, you know, okay, maybe one quarter you probably didn't do much, next quarter you make it up. But if you feel that you were completely digressing and doing something very different in 2 quarters, you know, I'll call it as, then you have to really ask yourself what exactly. So I think, you know, if you believe that impossible is nothing and keep chasing your dream, and they will come to you.
Wow, that is.
And then do not be afraid. There's nothing to lose.
Sure.
You know, there are many times I've seen people are very afraid of losing. You know, I was just, you know, as an example, I was learning MIT course, you know, this whole course about cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, the professor said, look, you know, many, many years back, they've decided to open a lab in MIT where they encourage people to hack other systems. So mostly you'll be hearing about how do you learn to defend or make sure the hackers don't attack your system. But they went other way. They said, look, this is a lab. You go and hack all the emails or any systems, medical, you know, anything.
Hackathon
kind of thing. And if you really want to peel the onion of that particular philosophy, you know, if you're thinking around that, the more I can penetrate on hacking, the better defense I can make. Without knowing what are the holes, you will not be able to close the holes. So the whole philosophy is, you really need to know what are the different ways that people can hack. Only then you should be able to make a robust platform or a defense system.
That is amazing.
To stop.
How does it apply to your life, this philosophy?
I mean, this philosophy, if you look at, there's no fear. I mean, you know, I remember when I took, after I left Levi's, you know, in 2001, I took up a job in UK with a Black & Decker running their, you know, EMEA supply chain manufacturing systems. And then within about 2 years, I just realized probably this job doesn't have much of upside, for example.
Right.
And we're very happy. It was, you know, it's a very nice location. My house was overlooking, you know, the Windsor Palace, for example.
Really? Wow.
And then suddenly this whole opportunity came in Adidas, you know. It's a small village, middle of nowhere in Bavaria, southern right. Bavaria.
Amazing.
And it's only 1,000 people live in that village. But the role was to have a global supply chain manufacturing person. They were looking somebody who can transform the German brand and to a international brand. So they were hiring a lot of people.
Right.
And then when I had a discussion with the hiring manager said, look, you know what? Before we interview you, why don't you come over to this town? Then we'll discuss.
Yeah.
Then I didn't realize, I was like, why is he asking me to come to the town before even he's asking, you know, what are your qualifications are? Then I, you know, and went to this small town called Herzegenaurach, which is in Nuremberg. As soon as I landed, the next morning, I realized why he has invited me to that, you know, place, because he was not sure whether I would be moving from, you know, London, outside London, yeah. into Herzegenaurach, which is a very small village.
Right.
And I said, you've done the right thing asking me here. And I took a tour. He gave me his car, and, you know, his wife took us around of that village, yeah. around that.
Yeah.
And I just fell in love with that, you know, greenery.
Sure.
And I said, look, I'm up for this job. And then we discussed and all that. It worked out, and I moved.
Yeah.
So if you look at, if you have a comfortable, cushy job outside London, Windsor, everything is hunky-dory, and then all of a sudden, you know, you leave everything and pack your bags to go to a village with 1,000 people, you know, you need to have some courage in terms
Absolutely.
Of living with that, you know,
Absolutely.
I had to do that. And I was ready for that. The only upside for me was, I just said, it was a global role. And what sold me the job is they wanted to transform a German brand to an international brand.
Right.
And I said, I let be part of that journey rather
Absolutely.
Than sitting with Black & Decker and, you know, keeping the lights on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That is amazing, Sharath. And after that, you moved into banking, right?
Yes. I think that was my last job in Germany. And after about 5 years, we couldn't see ourselves as very long-term living there for personal reasons. And then since we had lived in Singapore, closer to India, socially and all that, we decided to come back to Singapore. And it was not that I was planning a job in the banking line. And then suddenly a friend of mine who used to work in the bank, he said, would you want to change your career, come to a bank? I said, why would a bank hire me? I've never been a bank. I've been a fashion, footwear, fashion, apparel, you know, manufacturing
yes.
guy. He said, no, they're looking for somebody who has a global, you know, background.
Right.
And then this is the shortest, the fastest hiring experience I ever had in all my jobs.
They
okay?
must have snapped it's you about, up, Sharath.
No, it's about 45 minutes interview on the phone. And
yes.
next day morning, the offer was made.
Amazing.
Okay.
Amazing.
So I asked myself either, you know, I was that good or they were desperate. Then when I joined here, then of course the manager first, you know, welcoming and all that, and then gives me a ticket to go to Shanghai the same night.
Okay.
Because the bank had a very huge program to run in Shanghai for the RMB trading.
Right.
And Standard Chartered was only the fifth bank to be given the license to do the RMB trading. And then they asked me to run the entire program, which is, you can imagine knowing nothing about banking and knowing nothing about your Forex, which is RMB, you know, and then you have to deal with the regulators. And more importantly, the CEO of the company has clearly said, this is a matter of credibility and we have to trade on the day one.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like no pressure.
You had to literally hit the ground running, didn't you, Sharath? Why?
And I just took up the challenge, and I still remember and the control. They called the war room, the control room before the first trade goes online. And by the time, almost 72 hours in the control room, nonstop, 24/7, and then we made it. So coming from retail background to a banking to do FM trading. You know, and I just said, it goes back, reflects the same thing. Then I was not afraid of anything.
Yes,
and
you
took it on. And
Sharath, if I was to ask you, you've said some things which are so unique. But if I was to ask you to even reflect deeper and tell me, what is your unique gift to all of us? There is each individual has something unique to offer. Nobody else is Sharath Mohanty, right?
Yeah.
There is only one. that Sharath Mohanty, what is his gift to humankind, his perception, his way? And each one of us does have a gift. True. What do you think yours is?
I think probably the best way I can respond to that, a lot of my friends, colleagues, you know, keep asking me, so, okay, your daughter is now 14 years. What do you want your daughter to be? Okay. I said, you know, we've discussed that. And my daughter also asked me the same question, Bapa, what do you want to be? I said, look, my only expectation from you is that you being a good human being. There's nothing else. That's what is my expectation. That is what I can help you to shape up to become a good human being. Even if I have the wish to become a doctor or engineer, there's nothing that in your control, not in my control. So, but what is in control within you and me is to shape you as a good human being. Taking that philosophy, you know, as I think probably we briefly chatted, when I worked in my professional career, if I leave, this has come in various interviews, you know, how do you define yourself as a leadership style? I said, my leadership style or me as a Sharath Mohanty, if I move on from a role, I want to remain in people's heart, not in people's brain. Okay,
that is so powerful.
Yeah.
That is so. And I think you probably would have achieved that time and time again, Sharath. I mean, yeah. I'm sure there are many people who remember you for what you've done for them.
You know, whether I look for somebody in Japan when I was working during Levi's days, he still remains one of my best friends, even though, you know, we have not seen each other. Or if I look back to Germany, when I went, you know, part of our relocation, the relocation agent who was helping us to find a house still remains as a very close friend. I still remember when we were moving into Germany and to, you know, helping her, she was helping us to find a house. She said, Sharath, I normally don't ask this to German, but I can't stop asking you. We wanted to film this experience of yours, you know. Yes. It is not that because there are not many foreigners coming to this town from India.
Right.
And I want to, you know, record that and then, you know, then film it and leave it on the TV channel. Yeah. And I said, fine. Then he got, as we started to look for house and for grocery, the whole, you know, crew was following us.
Yes.
And then during, in, because it's a very peak winter, and then with the final, the house that we liked, I saw a lot of rats were moving outside in the garden. I was very excited.
Yes.
Looking at that, and they have recorded that, and then when they were, it was played in the national television in Germany, a lot of my friends, you know, and then German friends called me back saying that, Sharath, we just loved it the way you have reacted. So the bosses that I worked for, you know, whether it was Farooq Siddiqui, whether it was Russell Graham, you know, I think most of the bosses that I've had and had the same thing, you know. We've always, whether it's a Smith Revere or Sanjay, you know, at Levi's, we just made a connection.
Yes.
We just made a connection and at heart and then the brain. Brain is anyway given by default, you know, as part
yes.
of your job, do it. But it takes time to, you know, connect
yes.
it to at that level.
Sharath, you know, thank you so much for this wonderful conversation and for sharing so much of what makes you you. And also all the inputs that you've shared, the gems, the little nuggets for the people who are just starting out. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we close out?
No, absolutely. I mean, anybody, this is one thing which I probably forgot to tell, you know, when I was growing up as a kid, there was always, because I was very good at history. Okay. I've always scored, you know, the highest in until my 12th standard. There's one thing which struck as a big impact in my mind is that, you know, the various rulers coming and ruling you as in a country, right? We've seen from, you know, from Genghis Khan to all the Mughals to the
yes.
English to Portuguese and all that.
Yes.
So when I was reading, I asked myself, why can't I be on the other side? You know, why can't I be going and ruling not in the sense of sense of what the other thing is like in the intellectual and in the professional capacity. And that has been a strong, I would say, pillar of my drive, motivation. If you look at, you know, the Levi's job, you know, in India, then I went to do the Australia job in Adelaide. Then I think I was done in 2 years. I said, I want to do Asia Pacific. Yeah. From Asia Pacific, went to Europe to run, you know, Middle East and then Africa. So this whole aspect of me as a burning desire
yes.
to sort of, you know, do
be
something on a global basis.
Yeah. And be the expert instead of the
yes.
other way. Am I correct in
yes.
understanding?
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Wonderful, Sharath. I mean, the fact that you made it happen. You know, this is really a story of someone who's kind of desired, dreamt really big, and went out and achieved that dream. And now there is so much in terms of giving back that you're doing. So it's not stopping there. It's also giving back, which is such a strong part of it. Sharath, what a beautiful journey.
Indeed. You know, I think God has been very kind. God has been very kind. And I've had fantastic and extreme, you know, supportive wife, Geeta. And, you know, otherwise without her support, you know, moving, you know, every time I've got a better role or job and to move to another region or another country, you know, she would just say, yes, let's pack up and go, because, you know, she feels that probably, you know, you're chasing your dream and, you know, let me be the catalyst.
Sharath, thank you so much for your time. It's been a great conversation, and I'm really honored that we are having the Soul Brew together. Takes me back to the times that we had together when we were all so young in Levi's.
Yes, and
so,
absolutely.
But it was such a beautiful experience in bringing Levi's to India, all of us together. And I'm so delighted that I'm speaking with you again today. And thank you so much for this wonderful conversation.
Absolutely. You know, it has made me nostalgic, you know. I can still feel in my mind the Levi's story and Churipa complex, you know, on the floor. Normally, I come very early in the morning when I see you coming into the office, getting into your cubicles and all that.
Yes, I know.
It's been absolutely a great journey. And I'm sure we'll continue to meet and talk.
I hope so, Sharath. And I look forward to it. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Shiva.
Thank you. Take care. Thank you for your time and attention, and for being a part of Soul Brews with Shiva. Until next week, keep the coffee swirling.